Okay, we're continuing in the Mesilas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We are on the top of page Chaf Gimel, the left-hand side of the page. We're in the middle of the discussion of Mesilas Yesharim says that the benefit of reading this Sefer is through constant repetition. It's not because of the Chidushim, it's not because of the new insights that are found there, but rather the repetition. Insights are for the seichel, it's for the intellect. Repetition is for the heart. And the understanding is that the heart must be molded in a way that the message of the Torah is able to get in. And then there was a whole discussion of a person is not really able to function well in an area that they don't understand at all what they're dealing with. And spirituality is one of those areas that we really don't understand what it is. Someone from the outside trying to get in, we really don't have any idea of what it's all about. And therefore, one has to develop an entry level for spirituality. And even that is a difficult aspect. So, finally, he begins this idea, which we're in the middle of now, is this idea of accepting the realities of life as a starting point and being real with those with those realities that exist in life. And and he's going to continue explaining that on the top of page Chaf Gimel. Okay. That's what he calls a person an Adam Mitziyuasi, a person living in reality. So now he gives some very good examples in the next few pages. And, what was the last thing we mentioned? The last thing we mentioned, a person who would be out of touch with reality. Let's say a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, and he closes up his store, and he doesn't bring any more money in. He rents an apartment in Yerushalayim, and he has no money to pay. Or rather, he says, I have belief that Hashem will pay for it. So he says, what kind of emunah is that? You're not living in reality. You have to understand, you got to pay the rent. All right, so now we're at the top of Chaf Gimel. Hu pashit hisnasek mehametzius mikoach hashi'ifus haruchani shelo. This person, in the example we gave, simply has cut himself off of reality because of his great enthusiasm for spirituality. Adam yachol lichyos im amuna. A person can live with amuna, avol alav l'kayim esedin, but you still have to fulfill the law. Yesh choshen mishpat v'chay v'sham. There's an aspect of choshen mishpat, monetary laws that a person is obligated to fulfill. So what happens? A person rents an apartment, and the apartment rent is, well, let's say in Thornhill, if you want to rent an apartment, it's $2,500 a month. You know there's no money in the bank, and you say, I have bitachon Hashem, he's going to provide for us. Well, unless you're on the level of the Baal Shem Tov or people like that, which I assume the person is not, you know, you're not in touch with reality. Reality is there are laws, there are Jewish laws, and one of the Jewish laws is you pay for whatever you want. You want something, you pay for it. You don't have it, you can't have it. So you had a job, you decide to be a Baal Tshuva, you quit your job, so now I can learn more Torah, but you're not able to pay the rent. So it's not a question of, you know, how do I become spiritual? Before you can become spiritual, you have to still live in the world that you're in. And you have to continue to pay the rent. Now there are aspects of bitachon that can fall within the realm of reality. You have $5 million in the bank, then you can quit your job. And you could probably not have to work the rest of your life with $5 million in the bank. So then being in touch with reality is, a person needs, not more than $150,000 to live a year. You figure out 30 years worth, I'm going to get some interest. It'll probably cost me to 40, 45 years. And he's got enough to make it to the end of his life. So a person in reality would say, I got enough money to live. Why am I knocking myself working anymore? I haven't learned Torah for the last 50 years. I better catch up. I only got 20 left. 25, 30. I better spend every minute learning Torah. That person's in touch with reality because he's got enough money to pay the bills. But the person doesn't have enough money to pay the bills, and he sees he doesn't have enough money, and the person is, so he's got a credit line. Right? So the person, it says, I'm gonna sit and learn, I'll go on the credit line. Okay, you pump the, you have a credit line of 50 grand. Right? So he just uses the whole credit line until 50 grand. Then what happens? Well, I'll just walk away and not pay the credit bill and they declare bankruptcy. You can't do that if you're a Jew. That's not living in reality. I'll have bitachon. What's your bitachon? You're not even going to work. Right? Or similar things to that. You can't justify doing something spiritual at the expense of following the halacha in a practical way. So forget about being a spiritual person if you can't even be an honest, law-abiding citizen in this realm. And you see this quite often with people who are so excited to be spiritual. He said you cannot be spiritual if you're not a mensch and a law-abiding citizen in a simple, real way. That's what he's saying. Adam Shereishis is called Mekayim Asadin. If a person in the beginning starts off by fulfilling the law, Ubenosef Ladin Machnas Belibo Es Or Hamuna, and within the context of law-abiding citizenship, you bring into your heart the light of Hamuna, Hadin Osa Osa Lada Mitziyasi. Then the law, following the law, first of all makes the person real. He's living within reality. And if beyond that he also has belief in Hashem, Ashra V'tovla. The person's fortune is good for him. But if a person, instead of keeping the Jewish law, he replaces that with Amuna, that is the root of the beginning of all the fallings for that person. Certainly we all want to have Amuna. Aval Amuna im karka, but it has to be Amuna on firm ground. Amuna hamavhuseses al kiyum halacha, an Amuna that is based on fulfilling the Jewish law first. Then you can have Amuna second. Okay, so obviously, you know, keeping Shabbos is part of the halacha. So if let's say now you're gonna have to keep Shabbos, you're gonna make less money, you can't say, well, I have to be real because I needed so much money to pay the bills. And now I'm gonna have 1/7 less to pay the bills. So Rabbi, you said I have to be real before I have Amuna. The answer is, reality is based on, there's only one reality. You have to follow what the Torah says. That's the reality. That's the reality. God says you can't work on Shabbos. That's more real than anything in this world. You can't work on Shabbos. Finished. You're not going to have enough money to pay the bills. It's not going to be you have no money. You're going to have 1/7 less money to pay the bills. Well, for that, you have to have Amuna. You have to have Amuna after you're subscribing to following the halacha. Again, the laws of the Torah are not some religious things that are beyond reality. The laws of the Torah define reality. If God says you make a commitment to pay the rent, you have to pay the rent. Why? Because the Torah says you can't lie, can't lead people on. You have to be honest in business. That's why you have to be that way. You can't. Therefore, so you have to keep your job, right? But the Torah also says you have to keep Shabbos. And if you don't keep Shabbos, you're not living in reality either, because reality means you understand that Hashem provides for you with your reasonable effort, which God requires for you to make as well. So then there are areas where you have to have Amunah after you're following the halacha. But having Amunah without halacha, then you have no religiosity at all. Another example. Adam lova kesef, person borrows money. They ask you, where are you going to pay back? What's your plan to pay back? He says, Hashem will help. So now, Ma'anyein, it's very interesting, and he really doesn't know how he's going to pay back, right? So Ma'anyein, it's interesting. Would he be just as interested to lend someone the money if the person says, I'll pay you back because Hashem will help? Can I borrow $20,000? Why? So I don't want to work this year. I want to learn. I need more than 20,000, 50,000, right? I want to learn this year. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael and learn this year. Okay, how do you pay me back? Hashem will provide. So I don't know who would lend you. But he feels all of a sudden, because I want to learn Torah, people should lend me the money. He says, well, do you have a plan to pay back? I have no plan. But Hashem will come up with the idea. That's ridiculous. That's not being spiritual. Not at all. Now, if you want to say, I want to live in poverty to learn Torah, and at least there's a way to live in poverty that's reasonable, okay, if you think you can do that, go ahead. If you're not violating any Torah halacha, you could do that. Otherwise, you can't do that either. So, the guy who borrows the money and has no plan of paying back, what he is doing is he is working with spiritual forces in order to cut himself off from reality. And that's not spirituality. To say, you know, I don't want to ever worry about living in the dog-eat-dog business world anymore. I don't want to anymore. Is that so? What are you? So really, you're becoming religious because you want to have permanent unemployment? I know there's a very nice thing that Jews have. There's a mitzvah called tzedakah. I really like it, and I hope everybody gives me tzedakah. You know, that's not what the Torah says. You know, sonei matanos yichya, a person who hates gifts will live. You're not supposed to set up a system that way. Right, where you were making a job, you give up your job just so you can learn Torah, and you're never going to know how to live your life again. Oh, Hashem will somehow provide. You know, that's not living in reality. Right? That's what he's saying. So a lot of times people use religion to escape reality. He says that's not religious. You have to stay in your reality. Again, it's a Torah-defined reality, though. And then you become religious. Adam balamuna, let's put it this way, a guy with a lot of amuna, milav alacherim, mikoach amuna shlo yinasek. A person with amuna will lend money to other people with an amuna that it won't hurt him. That's already different. Let's say you have extra money. You have money in the bank. People want to borrow money from you. Okay. Now, if I have amuna, I believe that, you know, Hashem will help me. Humamin shimnigz or love Rosh Hashanah shil kesef v'umakayim mitzvah. A love lahalvos is a kesef ashiyeshem sikuyim shekesef yachzor. If a person believes Hashem has decreed what you're going to make this year, okay, he has decreed that, and I obviously should be doing mitzvahs, right? Now again, in the brackets he says you don't do in a case where you know for sure the guy isn't going to lend it back to you. So the guy says, can you lend me? Let's say you've got chfeis, you got $100,000 in the bank, right? You got a nice job, $100,000 in the bank. Guy wants to borrow $20,000 from you. Okay, so if there's a reasonable chance the guy can pay you back, there is a possibility maybe he won't pay you back. There's a reasonable chance the guy will pay you back. So then a person with emunah believes that, okay, you know, I'll lend him the money. Listen, if he doesn't pay me back, okay, as Bashert, I was supposed to lose the 20,000. It's inside in Rosh Hashanah, I was supposed to lose the money. But you don't take, let me the guy that you know the guy has no way of going to pay him back. You want to borrow 20,000? What are you going to do with that money? I'm going to basically use it to live off of that, because for the next year I'm going to be learning Torah and I'm not going to be working. Okay, do you have any way of getting a job after you're finished? No, I'm really unskilled. I can't do anything. Okay, then you shouldn't lend them the money. Unless you just want to give away the money. That's a different story. But you have to realize, he ain't going to pay you back. So now, are you prepared to give him $20,000? You're not obliged to give someone $20,000. There's no mitzvah tzedakah that obliges you to give him $20,000 like that when you only have $100,000 in the bank. But, on the other hand, the guy says, listen, I'm going into a business venture, and the guy's had certain successes in the past, and if you give him the $20,000 and the business works out and you check out, it's not a pie in the sky thing, but it seems like a reasonable thing. Okay, any business venture that could be the possibility you're going to lose the money too. Okay, so if you have a muna, okay, you have a muna that it's got, but I haven't just blown away the money. So then you lend it, even if there's a possibility it won't be returned, because that's the miss of lending money. know, lending money, knowing you guaranteed are getting back the money. So then what's the mitzvah? Especially when you charge the guy interest. So then what's the mitzvah? Right? That's not a mitzvah, unless he couldn't get from the bank, and you know, he ever had to risk it, etc. But then it applies emuna, if, you know, well, maybe he won't pay me back, but even if he doesn't, you'll still be okay. So then he is, who know, hey, kalocha gedin, he's customarily following what is the law. So nachnis besoches or emuna. So then you add to that emuna. Then you can connect to Hashem that way. But if your belief in Hashem in other aspects of spirituality is beginning to cause you to be cut away from reality, that's a sign of a bad beginning. If the beginning isn't good, how can the end work out? So then this is what he's stressing again. Hamitzias, when we talk about reality, shehi haTorah haKedosha, it's the Holy Torah. That's why when you're learning Torah, you see Torah does not leave any subject untouched. Tell me what subject in the world is the Torah not addressed? It tells you exactly how to live. It tells you how to deal with your animals. With tractates after tractates, what do you do with your animal that damages? Any possible situation. Right? Dealing with how to deal with the testimony in a court, right? In one day, in 1 week, how many different aspects of your life you're touching over here, right? Dealing with the laws of sukkah, right? Okay, dealing with the religious law, dealing with mundane day to day living laws, how to deal in a way that puts you in touch with reality. Yeah, even in business, it tells you how to invest your money, right? You don't want to put all your money into one investment, right? You have people who say, you know, somebody recently spoke to me and said, they're doing okay. I mean, it's a struggling family, but like every family struggles, right? He says, you know, I can't take this every month just making it at the end of the month. I said, what's wrong with that? I said, what's wrong with that? Hashem's giving you exactly what you need. Yeah, but like I have to sweat it out till the end of the month. To make sure but that's the way you're supposed to live. That's the way you're supposed to live. He says, no. You know, and then, you know, it's getting tight. I said, so it's getting tight. So listen, what he said, what I could do is I have a line of credit. I could get a line of credit on my house for $200,000. And then, you know, I know people who make very sound investments. And like they know, I don't know all this stuff, you know, like insider trading, it's legal, not legal, but they still do it, whatever. He knows they're all doing it, whatever. And it's like guaranteed 15% return. So I can borrow $200,000 on the house. And, you know, and then I gotta make more money. So he asked me what he should do. I said, you're crazy. I said, you're not normal. I said, what do you tell me? You tell me you're able to pay the bills. Yeah. So that's exactly, so you're fine. Yeah, but I need to be able to have it easier. Because he's figuring he'll invest $200,000. You know, you get your 15% in 6 months, and you make $30,000. Ah, I can relax. I said, and what happens if the guy he invests with is another guy like Madoff? Then you can say goodbye to your house. And now you got an extra $200,000 mortgage. You already have a $200,000 mortgage on the house. Then you can have a $400,000 mortgage. Is that living normal? Is that living normal? Forget about Torah lifestyle. Is that living normal? Right? You make enough money to pay the mortgage, pay the school tuitions. It's tight. You're right. It's tight. It means you gotta be frugal. You're right. You just can't walk into a place and hunk down a $200 bill to buy some candies at a store that sells candies. Right? Yeah, you can't. Not mamish. You're mamish deprived. You know, come Shavuos and you can't go to a chocolate store and buy $200 of chocolates. It's a terrible life you have. You have roast and you have chicken and kugels and you can't buy $200 worth of candies to give people. Mamish, you're going to have to suffer. Yeah, but if I make this investment, then, you know, I can always walk, always buy whatever I want. I say, are you normal? You know, So that's the idea, you know. And the guy says, you have bitachon Hashem, Hashem will make it work. I said, you're an idiot. You know how many times people have come to me saying they've mortgaged their house? People lose their houses on for sure. The Gemara says you have to spread out your wealth in three different areas. Put it in land, put it in investments, put it in this. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's what the Torah says. Not to be a spiritual person, because you can't be a spiritual person unless you're grounded in reality. The Torah understands good business practices, right? You know, how would I, in your right mind, in fact, okay, if you've got, other sources of income, and you're using your house as a means of investment, but it's not putting your house in danger, it's other investments that are locked away. Let's say you've got $200,000 locked in a CD, then you can't touch it for 2 years. Okay, so that's discretionary money. Right, okay, so now you want to take it out of the house. And in case it doesn't work out, you can always come back to the CD and get it. Okay, the old rule, you don't invest any money unless you can afford to lose it. Right? And you know, that's reality. No, I have bitachon to work out. No, you're an idiot. You're using your bitachon. What's the guy using his bitachon for? So he could be a bigger baltaiva. You understand? The guy says, I have bitachon Hashem. I want to go, Hashem will make it work. And for what purpose? So I could buy $200 of chocolates before Shavuos. Is that an Eved Hashem? No, I'm just saying it. You know, but you're using your spirituality to not be spiritual. And more than that, to be out of this world. You gotta live in this world. If you're not living in this world, and then how do you live in the world? The Torah tells you. The Torah tells you how to invest your money. Not Wall Street. So if the Torah says this is not reasonable, it's not reasonable. And forget it. You don't do it. Finished. Now, again, there's times where, if Klal Yisrael's life depends on something, I know you're gonna ask, well, how would there be a state of Israel if it would have lived in reality? Well, guess what? When you don't have a choice, then you don't have a choice. If on the one hand the Nazis are killing you, the rest of the world wants you to go to hell, and you're going to all be extinct, then you got to fight because you're dead anyway. Okay, then you talk to Hashem and you hope he does something for you. There is no other practical solution, right? You have no place to go. Then Hashem puts you to the Sea of Reeds, and the Egyptians are chasing after you, and you have nothing, and you're going to be dead people. Unless it's either you're dead or you listen to Hashem. So I guess you listen to Hashem because you don't have any other options. Well, we have another option. We could make a peace treaty with the Egyptians, and the Egyptians are happy to do it. It's another story. So there are times, can't ask me, we see people did things that were not normal. Yeah, but Hashem told you to do it. If Hashem tells you, jump in the sea, that becomes reality. That becomes reality. Hashem told you to do it. But if you say, it's really hard. I don't know what it's going to be. I'll just jump in the sea and hope Hashem will help me. No, Hashem never asked you to do it, so don't do it. Yeah, question?
Two questions. But first, really refreshing, I think.
Okay. That's great. You're surprised.
I'm surprised it's coming from the Lubavitcher, yeah.
But again, he's defining living real by finding what the Torah says is reality.
It's a great way to mix this world and the Torah, and it's fabulous. I guess the two questions, one is, so then why is the sort of the opposite so prevalent in the firm world? Because I talked with Shabbos morning, you get these ads from these rabbis, these magazines, and the mailings, and they're just about, men who are just, studying, and then the wives are sending for, the rabbis are trying to canvass for money for them. And the other is, many times, Rabbi, we've had these discussions.
Let's deal with one at a time. All right? So don't get lost. So why are there people who are studying?
Not that it's bad to study, don't get me wrong. But like you said, you want to live in poverty and study? Great. But we get inundated with, those glossies that come from the shuls in New York all the time. We get them all the time in the mail.
Again, you have to understand which ones we're dealing with. If you're dealing with, let's say you have a yeshiva and they have guys learning in a kollel for 5 years. Right? So the Torah says you gotta be a scholar. Right? So even in the secular world we understand, that you support scholarship for a certain amount of time. Because the world needs scholarship. Right? Somebody is into research. Okay, he needs a grant for 5 years to research something. And then when the research is over, you know, then you move on to another job. So again, all these situations that I'm saying that the Gedolim are supportive of, okay, you gotta be careful here, is that, you know, the guy's gonna sit and learn for 5 years, but then he's gonna live and then make a living. He's gonna train himself to make a living when he's done. But in these 5 years, he needs support. That's okay, because that's supporting Torah scholarship that the Jewish people have to support. The Torah says there was a partnership between Yisachar and Zevulun. That Yisachar, Zevulun supported Yisachar. That was a sound business proposal. In other words, Yisachar is the businessman. He's making more money than he needs. And they're in it's like a business deal that we are going to work. We will support you and you will learn Torah. And that's our business deal. And that's done in advance. And there, and Yisachar was blessed to make much more money than he needs. And he's happy to share that money, that someone else can be a scholar. And that the tribe of Yisachar will bring scholarship. The Jewish people must have scholars. We agree? Without scholars, we're finished. That's reality. Who are you going to ask your questions to? And more than that, we need to have a constant flow of a certain percentage of people learning Torah to keep the world going. That's also the Torah says. Okay, that creates an obligation on the community that it has more money to support these people. That is part of reality. If there's nobody sitting and learning in kol of the entire Jewish people will die. God says this. So that becomes reality. So now, the reality is, so now you have an elite group who learn Torah. So we have to be very particular who's in that elite group. You can't just have any guy who says, you know, I'm really lazy, and there's a great system over here, and you know, I'll learn a little, schmooze a little, or schmooze more than I learn. And have people supporting that, that is a desecration of God's name, and that is not part of the reality that God is sanctioning here. He's sanctioning, this guy's going to learn 12, 14 hours a day, and he's going to grow in his Torah learning. That's a guy that's worth to support. That's a guy that's worth to support. That's part of the reality of this world. Now, if there are people who want to support this guy all his life and to always learn Torah, and he's got people who want to support him, that's fine. That's part of the reality of life. If a guy says, I'll just go there and I'm going to obligate people to support me, then that's not reality. You say, oh, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to learn, and then I'm going to ask everybody to support me. No, first you get the contracts beforehand. You say, I'm planning next year to sit and learn for the rest of my life. I need investors in my thing. It's an investment, and it's a good investment. If a rich guy, he's got the money, kol hakavod, you want to invest in this guy for the next 50 years to get his hurling? So get an investor. You got an investor, then that's part of reality. But what do? No, you don't do anything. You just say, I'm just not working. I'm going to load up the bills. And then hopefully I'll find some of it. That's not what God wants you to do. That's not reality. So I can't talk about every one of these tzedakahs that they're asking for. If it's a legitimate kollel, let's say if someone is a baal tshuva. Listen, and if they're not going to learn anything, they're going to be ignorant their whole life. So they got it for 2 years, they have to sit and learn. So it's worthwhile to find investors to help that person learn for 2 years. Then he's going to stop. Then he's going to go back to work. And we should invest in that guy for 2 years, because otherwise he won't know how to learn. He won't know how to live like a Jew. Part of the reality is you have to know how to live like a Jew. Guy's 40 years old. He wants to be a baal tshuva. And he doesn't know anything. Every day he's mechalel Shabbos. It's going to take him years and years part-time until he learns anything. If he can find an investor that will say, for 2 years, will you support me so I can become knowledgeable that I can live this way? If he'll find an investor, then fine, take off for 2 years. It's a mitzvah to invest in such a guy. But if he doesn't have investors, then you can't quit your job. Right? So that's the, you know, I got a son along Kolo. He's in Chavetz Chaim. So we have to invest in him. We're investing him till he reaches a certain level of scholarship. But he understands, after a certain point, he's going to go out and he's either going to teach Torah or he's going to become an accountant. I'm not investing in him for the rest of my life, because that's not the reality in this situation. But to invest for a few years, it's important. Everyone knows a young married couple should start their life surrounded with Torah. And to develop a certain level of scholarship, then that's it. The investment is over. Now, what's going to be the reality? So you need maybe a year or two, the last year of investment, to train in somewhere. Okay, we'll invest in you while you're training. And now when you're finished, and now move on. That's the way you're supposed to do it. You know, if you want to have a cult of guys just to sit and learn forever, you got the investors for it. So you have kollels over here. So there's people who are willing to invest. Okay, that's fine. If the investors dry up, all of a sudden your big investors are out, guess what? Then the community doesn't necessarily have to support that anymore. You don't have any investors. So it's a nice idea. It's a wonderful thing. I guess it's not going to work. So I guess we'll close it down. All right, that was the first question, yeah? Second question?
The second question is, we've had, and that was the great answer, thank you.
Okay. I'm glad you're happy today, Shelly.
I was looking forward to coming today. Well, Sam asked the question on Thursday, but we ran out of time. But, so the other question was, we've had many discussions where we said, this world isn't reality. This is an illusion. But this is saying the exact opposite.
No, it is saying exactly. This world without the Torah is an illusion.
But Rabbi, we've had many heated debates where I even said, I don't know, Rabbi, when I get my property tax bill, it's reality. If I don't pay it, I lose my house.
I understand. So I never said that that's not...
That's an illusion.
No, but here's the point. The point is, if a person says, and because of that, I don't have to keep Shabbos.
No.
That...
No. Now you're redefining that.
No, I'm not. You have to remember what we were saying in what context it was said before. Right? There's one level of... Right. There's a level of reality here, but the greater reality is the next world. That's the real reality. Right? The next world is the ultimate reality. The difference is, this world is the transitional world for the next world. The problem, and to say that this world is the be all and end all, that's not reality. To say that everything I'm living for is in this world, and this is the goal of this world, that's an illusion. And the practical matter is, most people think that this world is the goal. That's the illusion. To say that this world is just a means to the next world, then the person's living in reality. And therefore, you have to make choices that will reflect that. Right? You just need enough money in this world so when you die, there's $0 in the bank. That's how much money you need. That's living in reality. The real reality. Because I don't need to take one penny with me afterwards. But people who scrimp and save and don't give tzedakah, so when they die, they want to have millions in the bank. That, because the reality, the secular reality is to leave money. That's not reality. That's what we're talking about. Of course, I never said you shouldn't pay your real estate taxes.
No, but never said that. The rabbi did say this world was an illusion.
It's an illusion. That's the illusion. The illusion is that this world is it. That's the illusion. But most people live their lives that this world is it. Simple case in point. You have an hour of discretionary time. You've worked already today, okay? Now, you have 2 hours at night. You choose to watch a hockey game or learn Gemara. Okay, now, if you're in the world of illusion, then you watch the hockey game. Because, of course, it's very important to know if the Canadians will move on to the next round. Right? Now that's the whole sports is a total illusion, okay? Right? They create a world that they make you think this is the most, if Montreal wins, it's gonna be tremendous for the whole world. It's Mamsa Tikkun Olam. That's not reality. That's not reality. Reality is sit and learn Gemara for 2 hours. That's reality. Because at the end of the day, the Montreal Canadiens, whatever happens, is not getting you an inch of Olam Haba. Nothing. Reality is, you learn 2 hours of Gemara, that's Olam Haba. Right? So that's the thing. This world is an illusion, the illusion to say that the entire existence is all encapsulated in this world. That's the illusion. God says, don't buy into that illusion, but you still have to live in this world for the purpose of getting to the next world. If you don't pay the bills, you starve to death, you die, you don't get to the next world. You gotta pay the bills. You gotta make a Kiddush Hashem in how you pay the bills. That's living in reality because God says you have to pay the bills. God says you have to, if you move into a house, you have to pay the bills. If you can't afford the bills, then God says don't buy a house. That's the reality. And you're only living in a house so you have a place to make a little mishkan. So just like the mishkan was built with legal funds, you have to build your house with legal funds. And that's the reality. And that's the Torah's reality. Okay, good? Yes? Oh, it's lots of
examples of reality that he's given and that you're talking about. examples of realities, living in a world of reality that relate to other areas, such as...
I'm sure there are, but
listen. Relationship with family, or other issues. Like, is it only just money, or...
I'm sure there are. I'll give you an example. You become a Baal Tshuva, and you have a secular family. Okay, now, this is not as clear-cut, but one thing's... I'm just saying, but again, money is much easier to give general rules. But you have to know. So one thing, the Torah says, "Kavedes avicha v'simcha." That's reality, right? So now, you want to be religious, your parents hate the fact that you're religious. Alright? So now, how's the difference between using religion to escape reality and using the religion to live in reality? So one person can say, you know, really, they really hate their parents. They've hated them all the time. You know? So now this is amazing. The Torah says, I can now learn Torah. I can now be religious. There's a whole thing of kosher and this, and it's everything my parents don't do. Ha 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 ha! I ain't gonna use the Torah now to cut my parents out of my life. Because I really hate their guts. I never loved them. And now I'm gonna show them they're a bunch of nothings and nobodies. And I'm gonna say, you're so secular. You're so this. And I'm not gonna eat in your house and this and that and that. So now what did they do? Now, God never wants you to talk to your parents that way, no matter how terrible they are. What does the Torah say? Honor your parents. Even if your parents slap you in the face, you can't retaliate unless your life's in danger. But if they embarrass you, you can't retaliate. They're your parents. Right? So now you're going to use the Torah to escape reality? I'm sorry. No, I have to have a kosher home now. I have to keep Shabbos. I never could look at you again. You know, the rabbis taught us that Yitzchak became blind because he looked in Esau's face because he was a Rasha. So I can't look at your faces anymore because you're Rishayim and I'm never going to look at you again. Right? Isn't that a good use of the Torah for that? So the answer is, you don't have Yitzchak's eyes, and your parents don't have Esav's wickedness. Number one. And number two, kavedes avicha v'simcha. You have to honor your parents. If anything, following the Torah is going to force you to behave better to your parents. So there's escaping reality with the Torah, and then saying, you know what the Torah says? That, you know, my parents were really terrible to me. And still in all, I have to call them up once a week, twice a week, and say, Ma, how you doing? I can hear her yell at me for 20 minutes, and I say, yeah, Mom, I understand. And that's the reality of Torah. That means you're not going to enjoy, you're going to have to learn to enjoy those parents in a different way. That is the reality that even the secular world doesn't understand such a reality. Right, so is that a good answer or fall? That was all the time. And you got to be very careful with Baal Tshuvas. You have to know, are they, that's the whole point, are they living in reality or not living in reality? And they need guidance because they don't understand this. Even from people don't understand this. You know, they want to go to Eretz Yisrael for a year. So you have to understand, okay, let's see, is this real or not? Okay, the person's 25 and, you know, will he get his job back in a year? Yes. Okay, you know what? Got some savings? Yeah, you know, it makes sense. Spend a year in Eretz Yisrael. You use up your savings, but you're going to come back to your job. Okay, that's fine. That's real. You're paying the bills. I'm going to have to suffer. I have no savings. No one in Torah says you have to have savings. A 25-year-old? What do you have to have savings for? You got $20,000 in the bank? You can go to Eretz Yisrael for a year? Use it. Should he borrow from somebody? Why? You're not a tzedakah case. I have to have a munah that when you come back, you'll keep your job and you won't get fired. Then you're living in reality and you've added a munah to that reality. If you don't have a munah, you can say, how can I do that? I'll have nothing in the bank. Then you're not being sincere with what we want to do. If on the other hand, a guy is married with two kids and he's got this, he still hasn't got any money in the bank. He says, I want to take a year off here. So we'll go in debt and we'll pay back. I said, what are you talking about? That's not reality. You don't go in debt for that. Unless there's that's a very reasonable way to pay it back. I'm going to go in debt and, you know, Hashem will help. What is Hashem will help business? You can't do that. Right? So you need good counsel to stay in that reality. And that's why you have to ask Shilas. That's the whole reason I have a rabbi to ask Shilas. People do the most boneheaded things in the name of spirituality. And a couple of years later, you find they're in debt over their heads. and they're going to lose their house. And I said, why haven't you spoken to me till now? We had a Emunah in Hashem. So I said to myself, they're a bunch of idiots. They went out of reality. They went out of reality. That's not what God wants you to do. So you're creating a new religion. This isn't a total religion. Right? Let's just do one more. Where do we leave off over here? Hametzius? Second last paragraph? Did I read it yet? I think so. Hametzius, the reality. Shia Torah Kedosha, which is the Holy Torah. Hia Basis Vaschalol Chalbinin. That's the basis of whatever you're going to build in Yiddishkeit. Following what the Torah says, to live in that reality. Any point in Avodas Hashem that's based and expresses itself in a weakening of fulfilling halacha, that's not Torah. Reish is called, right in the beginning, are you fulfilling the words of Hashem in His Torah by what you're planning on doing? Then you can add a true spiritual power into that. And amuna. You're starting off reasonable, but you have to have some amuna. Okay, then that's fine. Memela, consequently, when a person decides to, I want to become a spiritual person, you got to really check yourself. Are your dreams and aspirations real? In the physical world, forget the spiritual, people dream of buying all kinds of things. But they know they don't have the wherewithal to make that happen. They dream of a villa in the south of France, check the bank account, $27.36, it ain't going to be. Same thing in spirituality. Person wants to enter the world of spirituality. Next page, Chavdal Tzarch, leave them, get a check. Reishis call. Hey, Behemoth, Mashu, Olech, Lassus, Udavin, Seriously. What I want to do, is it real? I want to now quit my job, go into coal for the next 5 years, I have no money in the bank, and I'm gonna, I got lines of credit, and I'll blow it out to $200,000, and then I'll come back. Oh, sir, you can't do that. That's not real. Torah's not allowing you to do that. Last paragraph. Achachma, Bechol, Dover, he? The real wisdom of all beginnings is to do it step by step. Itis umitziyasi, slowly but real. Hakishlon shala adam novea, the fall of a person comes out of what? Lorak mikafshi b'sofer etzona shala lo yisvol. It's not just because what he wanted to didn't come into reality. That's not why things fail most of the time. Hakishlon shala nos mikafshi misnasim etzios. The reason you fail is because you cut yourself off from reality. That's why you fail. The real problem is you are ambitious for things that have no hope of ever materializing to begin with. That's how you yourself commit a suicide, so to speak. You destroy the very building, the inner building you're trying to create. Because you've cut yourself off from reality. You got to start slow. You're Baal Tshuva, and you're learning about God, and you want to learn more. So guess what? So you start, learn every night for 2 hours. Keep your day job and learn for this. But I'm not getting anywhere. That's fine. Let's do that for a year, and let's see where you're at after a year. You know what? You could learn very quickly how to not be Mechalel Shabbos. Very quickly, even with your job. No, that's going to be hard. Because I thought religion's going to make my life easy. Then I won't have to work so hard. No, that Torah that says you're supposed to work hard. If anything, reality is you work harder. Yeah, you come home at 6 o'clock at night. Now, get rid of the TV. Get rid of the Nourish cake. Get rid of every stupid thing you've done in your life that you felt you had to relax for. Now spend 4 hours a day learning more because you got the time. And don't quit your day job. And you'll see, in 3 months, you'll know how to keep Shabbos. That's slow. That's slow. Then one day, 3-4 years on, you want to take a year off and a sabbatical. You'll make preparations. You'll say, from now I'm going to start saving. That 3 years from now, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael for a year. I'll save, till I can do that. Now you've done a very reasonable way. And then you see, those people do succeed in their spiritual goals. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.